Hello and welcome to Pulsar Space Impulse's very own podcast on everything spacey. I'm Ria Urban, your host for today.
So today we're interviewing Derek Harris, Business Operations Manager at SkyRora. Hi, Derek.
Hi there, Victoria. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for accepting our invite. You have a very exciting career path, which I would want to talk about. But as full disclosure, we should say that we're friends. We've known each other for a few years now. We both live in Scotland, sunny, beautiful, bright Scotland.
Very so, it was a bit serendipitous, our meeting, I would say. You coming from Hungary and then ending up in my hometown of Penicuik, which seems to become the center of space, it feels like recently, but
Huge,
it
huge
was a
town.
good thing.
Huge town, center of the universe. Yeah. Right. So, Derek, I don't know anything about your childhood. Can we start from there? So, where did you grow up? What did you want to be? What aspirations did you have?
Well, I was born and bred in Penicuik, which is about 15 miles south of Edinburgh. And really growing up, I had no clue what I wanted to do. I went to a small primary school, which is no longer there, called Eastfield Primary, and then went to Penicuik High School. When I went to the high school, again, I had no clue what I wanted to do. I was a pretty average student. It found out I was dyslexic in my sort of second last year before graduating. And at that point, I sort of made a decision that I wanted to try and do something, but I didn't know what. And I applied to an exchange program and ended up moving over to the US when I was 17, to play sports. And that sort of was the main start of my journey. Even at that point, I know a lot of kids when they grow up say, oh, I wanted to be a scientist or a police officer and things like this. I literally had no clue growing up. It was like a Baskin Robbins type flavor of the day, I would say, when I was younger. So one year I may have wanted to be a police officer or a fireman. The next year it could be a Ghostbuster or working in the movies or what things like this. So it did change quite a bit when I was younger, but there was no real defined path. But I think the biggest standout moment growing up was basically when I moved to the US and went to Virginia for to complete my schooling, and that just opened my pathways. And I had a couple of good teachers who basically said, just keep pushing on and take any opportunity you can and see where it goes.
Nice, that's good advice. And what sports were you playing there?
I played American football
Oh, wow.
over there.
Wow.
So I've had a big rugby background from playing for Penicuik and things. And then for some reason, I managed to pick up a course with what was the Scottish Claymores. They used to be an American football team in Edinburgh. And I did like a month and a half training session with them during the summer. And that seemed to help with the application to go study abroad. And next thing I know, I'm in Virginia playing football or American football.
That's cool. Wow, well done. And how did you end up coming back? Why didn't you stay in Virginia?
So I went through and I had a few different things, but I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. I ended up picking up an injury, things like this. So I came back and sort of done some college, sort of university, not university, but actual college work over here towards TV and media production skills. And nothing just seemed to stick. And then I went back to the States and I worked in with Cornell University for a while and picked up some certification for outdoor survival, teaching, nature, and it was probably where my love of STEM came from, and it sort of came from there as well, is because of working with the kids at that point. But again, there was no clear direction that I wanted to go when I came back, and I went through various jobs from working in video stores, movie theaters, to Argos, to name drop
Oh,
one. And then ended up work moving into the finance sector.
right. Oh, yeah. And here comes your very exciting job title. So you ended up working as a senior financial crime analyst. Tell us about that. What did you do, and did you enjoy it? And what did you?
Yeah, well, it very much it was a super secret squirrel type thing. Now, in all seriousness, it was basically watching for money laundering, people trying to steal people's money by impersonator fraud, things like this, down to investigations onto serious financial crime, which would then be reported into the serious crime agency down in London, and prosecutions and things like this. So really we were at the tip of that, sort of doing the investigation, getting as much information and then sort of handing over to the police to do what they needed to do. For me, it was a lot of spreadsheets and a lot of occasional conversations with people, having to figure out and follow the money, follow the trails, things like this. So a little bit of investigative work, and which was quite fun. That was enjoyable. It kind of at points felt like you were working in a movie. So obviously follow the money, you'll find the real villain. I was very lucky as I had some great people that I worked with there throughout my time working in finance, and some of them are friends that I've still got to this day. It came to a point that I wanted to move on, as I kind of lost my love for the role. I'd spent a good few years working my way through the financial sector, and it just was changing to a point. And it was kind of like a roundabout. You were starting to see people would leave one bank to go to another bank, then go to another bank. And the staff were just all moving around. So the same problems were moving around. So without being too down on it, there was one or two staff members that I just got fed up working with, and then decided that I was leaving the sector because of it, because I knew if I just moved to another bank it would be 6 months or a year and we'd end up working together again, and I really didn't want to do that. And I handed my notice in and decided I was going for a new journey or a new challenge. And it was at that point an old school friend that I worked with, Daniel Smith, who was the head of Astro Agency now, was the director of a company called Skyroda, who I work with now. And he's like, well, I can help out. We're just starting up, but we're looking to basically set up an office, bring in some staff. We'll need insurance, procedures, all this sort of thing. Stuff that I'd done before in the sort of finance sector. So it started off as a sort of short-term contract with that to try and help the company start up, and just develop from there. As it turned out, I had a lot of skill sets which maneuvered across from finance to basically what is now space. So, and I've ended up here what was meant to be 6 months, and I'm now coming up for just over 6 years, I think.
Wow, that's amazing. And let's just go back to your education for a bit. So you went to Clark County High School as well, okay?
Yep.
And then you attended the Open University and you have a degree in psychology. So yeah, a guy playing American football with a degree in psychology ends up in financial crime analysis and then in space.
That's it. I have to caveat, I still need to finish my degree. So I've not fully got it yet. So it's still open for that purpose. But yeah, I have a love of psychology. It was something I learned when I was younger, that, and it started off from silly things like being able to mediate groups, and all the way down to playing poker with friends, and starting to realize that I could read certain people's traits and things like this. And that drove me to learn a bit more about psychology. So that was actually all done out of just a bit of passion for myself, and interesting to see, well, why can I tell that some people are bluffing, or why can I instantly tell from body language that there's something I don't trust? And so it went, that was the main reason for the psychology aspect of things. And I found it's actually helped a lot, considering I'm not an engineer. I do a lot of the business things, but it does help me understand who I'm dealing with and how to deal with others, and especially different cultures and things like this.
Yeah, and I think it's useful when you're hiring people as well.
Very much so. So I have on a few occasions had a very good track record of hiring people in, but there are a few that I've missed that I would have loved to bring on board, but I've not been able to
Really?
do so. But I can't say I'm flawless with that. Unfortunately, as with everyone, there are those that you can hire sometimes that come on. But I have to admit, those that I've brought on board with us at Skyrora, I've been tremendously happy with. And those who have stayed with us is great to have within the team. And those that have moved on, have moved on to sort of different career paths. So some have went on to join the police, and others have sort of moved into space again, but in fields that suit more their sort of skill sets and rockets do. So it's good to see them sort of the growth of the people with that as well.
Cool. We have to talk about psychology after this interview because I'm actually thinking of transferring to psychology from astronomy and doing space psychology, just to research how astronauts deal with deep space travel. So yeah, very exciting and very useful in the space industry as well. Right, and then you became the interim CEO for Ecoscene. What's Ecoscene? Can you tell us more about that?
So, as part of the package that Skyrora is offering for launch, it's to have a environmentally responsible fuel. So, you notice I'm not saying friendly because at the moment it is still a carbon-based fuel. So, I think using the term friendly is a push, but responsible is a better term for it. So, Ecoscene is basically a fuel which goes through a three-stage process to refine previously unrecyclable plastics. So when we say that, I'm talking about your supermarket bags, your polystyrene from takeaway places, things like this, which would normally go to landfill or incineration. We've managed to do a process which can give it a new lease of life. So it goes through a pyrolysis to start with, which is quite a common procedure now. And that turns it into a sort of thick oils, based sludge. And at that point, we go through a couple of other stages to refine it and get it ready to be fuel types. And from the research we've done and from the practice we've put in play, we have been able to make rocket grade fuel similar to RP1, similar to Jet A1 as well for aviation fuel, as well as maritime heating oil and actual car diesels. So it's a quite an exciting project with it that we're currently looking out for funding and are looking to bring it so we can IP and license the equipment out. So it's not just kept in house, but it can actually do some good within the world at large.
Okay. And what is your role as CEO?
So my main role with it at the moment was to get the business plan up to scratch, find out what we need to get the correct certifications for the different fuels. So for example, it's fine and well for us to use that fuel within rockets. Because we're not selling it, it's something we're producing. But if we were to sell that to another user, for example, say SpaceX, we would need to have it certified. So things like this to make it a viable product, is quite a long path. So it's working out the intricacies from that. So at the moment, as I said, I've looked into aviation, which is roughly would be a 5-year journey till we could get anything close to market on it for the certification process, whereas maritime's a little bit quicker. So it's basically figuring out the ins and outs of that. Well, we've got this wonderful technical team who were based out of the Ukraine who helped discover it, have pushed that forward. We've got that. We're basically doing it ourselves to keep our engine tests and our rockets filled, but we want to sort of push that forward. So it's my job to get it to market.
Wow, cool. That's a cool job. Your name's going to be everywhere. Right. So we mentioned Skyrora. Tell us what Skyrora is, what the company does, why we should be excited about it. I'm very excited about Skyrora, obviously, but our listeners might not know.
Well, Skyrora is actually, there's two ways to describe it. So you have Skyrora Ventures and then Skyrora Limited. So Skyrora Ventures is an umbrella company which holds all of our different technologies under one roof as such. So that holds EcoScene, it holds our 3D printing technology, SkyPrint, and other things that we're developing at the moment, which hopefully we can maybe talk about again in the near future. Skyro Unlimited, on the other hand, is our rocket venture. So that is basically our small launcher, which is leading the way in Europe at the moment for to launch satellites of the small to down to micro sort of sizes into sun synchronous and polar orbits up to 500 kilometers, and we can take a payloads of up to 315 kilos. What sits on the top of the rocket is makes it a little bit special is our third stage, which is a kick stage, but it's also in early design levels to make it become a space tug, which will give it more in-orbit servicing maneuverability as well.
Right. Wow. Cool. And if anyone wants to see the rockets, where should they go?
Well, I would say within the next year or so, they can go up to Saxavord and hopefully see one launch.
Wow.
Okay. But at the moment, the best place to look at would be on our website, which is www.skyrora.com, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and you can see that. We do also try and put as much footage up of the testing of the engines and any launches that we've had so far.
Yeah, and if they build a time machine, they can go back to Princess Street, where you used to have an office, but you moved from there, and there used to be a rocket in the window. And I think I have multiple pictures of that.
It's very disappointing that they're having to move from there. So yeah, the Princess Street office was something very surreal in a way, having a rocket in the window of Edinburgh's largest shopping street and Main Street.
Yeah.
Overlooking Edinburgh Castle, it was a great place to have an office, a very showcase. But for those who don't know, it has actually the building and the building next to it. It's been bought out to be sort of taken down and turned into a hotel. So I've now moved over to our Cumbernauld facility just outside of Glasgow.
I thought Edinburgh had enough hotels, to be honest.
So did I.
Here.
So did I. I thought we were perfectly placed, and being a rocket company, we should basically be able to oust a hotel takeover bid. But unfortunately, the owner of the building didn't see it the same way.
It's okay. Right. I also know that you're on the advisory board for Stem the Violence. Can you tell us what Stem the Violence is? Because it sounds weird. And what you do there.
Yeah, so Stem the Violence is a charity that's opened up down in London. So it's quite a bit away from myself. But the whole aspect around it was to try and move kids away from knife crime and crime as such, and use STEM education to show them that there is different routes and there are jobs that can do that. I originally met Fernando, who's the head of the sort of charity for that, about 3 years ago, and it was on came through social media, to be honest with you. We had posted a few things and we started to see likes coming up from Stem the Violence, and I did a little bit of research and into it and found out and made contact and said, well, we have various things that they could use. So we gave them the green light to use some footage from Skyrora tests. We have some children-based activities on our website, so colouring in and games and things like that. So they could basically give them permission to use that, because we like the idea. And as I said, I have a bit of an affection towards STEM and sort of trying to help people get into an industry, which because we lose so many good children that way. And the more I spoke and dealt with Fernando, it became a bit of a passion with myself. I really wanted to help and get involved. So it started out with giving online talks and things like this. And then he asked if I would sort of sit officially with them as a sort of an advisor on an advisory board to help them, guide them from the space part to and help with introductions, look over funding applications, things like that. Just day-to-day things that they need to sort of keep the charity running. Yeah. And I was more than delighted to sort of take part. And I just made the caveat, it's an unpaid position because I didn't want paid for it. I really think what he's doing is required. All we hear coming out of London is bad news and how the children are all sort of a bit feral or things like this. And it's, if we keep painting them with that brush, that's what's going to happen. They're just going to live up to what they're being told they are. And to have someone like this is basically using all his spare time and spare funding. And the program has now grown really from him and a couple of people to include one of the universities down south. So I'm trying to remember which one it is now, I forgot. I think it's Kingston. Who one of the professors there are helping out and things. So it's beginning to expand, and really what they're trying to do now over the next year or two is focus on maybe 4 or 5 youth hubs and then see where that goes. But it has such a potential that if it can start to make a difference in London, there are other cities throughout the UK that have major issues with crime and youth crime. So Liverpool, Glasgow, that this could maybe be rolled out. And so it was an absolute pleasure to be asked to join. And it's something, if you're, any of your listeners really want to do it, please go and check out Stem the Violence. If you're in the area, take part, help Fernando and the team out. If you want to donate, we can figure ways out. Or even if you have things that you think might be interesting to them, please reach out either to myself or to them.
Okay, thank you. I met Fernando the same way through social media, and he's a great guy. So I might come up, or go down rather, to London and do some projects with him. Yeah, it's an amazing charity. And you can also help these young people to train themselves and eventually end up in Skyrora and maybe work with you in the future. Right, so what's the dream for Skyrora? So you obviously want to be the first, right, to launch from Scottish soil. Is that right?
I like how you said that, first to launch from Scottish soil. So a big shout out to Virgin Orbit and the team for their attempt earlier this year. So they did go from the UK, obviously, down in Cornwall. But yeah, we want to be the first vertical launcher from the UK. Okay. From that, there is a lot of history actually behind vertical launchers out of sort of the Kinnaird Heat Range and such, but it's all been more DOD or similar to that. So but we want to be the first commercial launcher going.
Okay.
And using that from Saxelord. So the dream is to get there first and get there successfully first time.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen this year's been difficult for launchers, anomalies, yes.
Especially in Europe. Yes
in Europe, then the rapid disassemblies of various other vehicles, but this is part and parcel, and I think a lot of people forget that the term, you get the joke, it's not rocket science. Well, it is rocket science. Things go wrong, unfortunately, and it's expensive and impressive when they do go wrong. But for me to get there and to get up successfully, that opens up a whole new ball game for Scotland and the UK. Imagine being able to have that sort of launch on our own doorstep, and for kids to be able to go up and see a launch, to be able to work on, well, Edinburgh's the data centre of Europe. So if we can work on getting more satellites up there, we have more data to play with. We're already experts, and it's a game changer really for what we can do. And that's what excites me, is we can help unlock the next stage of space exploration. Looking at the information coming back, everything around that, what unlocks it all is launch. And so to be part of that, it would just be amazing. And that's really what the dream is.
Of course. Well, let me know when this first launch is. I'm going to be there. I don't know how, but I'll be there. I'll walk.
I'm sure we can figure that out for you.
Yay. Cool. Well, Listen, Derek, thank you very much for talking to us. We wish you all the best, and we wish Skyrora all the best. And I'm sure our paths will keep crossing because we keep meeting well here in Scotland and then at conferences as well. Where are you going next? Where can the public find you if they want to talk to you?
Well, after next week, I will be at the New Space Summit in Munich. I'm working as a keynote speaker on the first day and then looking forward to sort of being involved in two or three of the other sessions. Then it will be Spacecom down in Farnborough, which I also believe you will be at, so I'm sure we'll get to see you there. And then after that, I'm not entirely sure. Anyone that knows me, I'm not the most organised person, people. So it's my team that I work with, Nikki and Rosie, who really make sure that I don't miss things normally.
They know your schedule better than you do. Well, yes.
Yeah. Yes, they do. So they are my godsend. So for those who don't know, Nikki, but again, is our head of PR and comms, and Rosie is our other business development with herself. And both of them, as I say, make my job so much easier and make sure that I actually am where I am on top of their own day-to-day job. So I'm thankful to have them with me.
Do you think you found your place now? Because you said, you know, you were interested in everything and nothing. And
I think I found a challenge I want to complete.
Okay.
So I want to get us to launch and then I can review again and see what's there. So I think that's a great thing about Skyroad Adventures is because of the 3D printing and EcoScene, there is other projects that I can speak with our owner, Vladimir, with and sort of move across to if any of them sort of really take my fancy. But I've now got such a skill set that's interchangeable. I can do a lot. So I had always wanted to work with charity, and this has given me the chance to do that with Stem the Violence again. So who knows what the future holds? It could be working more with EcoScene or Skyprint, or it could be settling down after we launch and walking dogs for a living, which also I'd be okay with. So the future is untold, and it's a fun path to wander. So let's see where I end up.
Okay, well, my two dogs are looking forward to your dog walking venture. thank you very much. And I'll meet you soon. And we wish you all the best and have a nice day, Derek.
Thank you very much and have a great day.